title for today's message is, Are We Only Ankle Deep? Are we only ankle deep? You know, I started with a scripture from Ezekiel here. And if you know anything about our prophet Ezekiel, he prophesied in the Babylonian captivity. And this particular prophecy that he gave was probably given around 570 BC. And it's good to know where and when Ezekiel gave this particular prophecy and this particular vision, because you have to understand where he was and what he was. I think by the time he gave this particular vision, his wife has passed. He's alone in Babylon. And God's decided at this time to come to him and give him this vision. And so let's read just a little portion, but it's so important. Out of Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. We're going to read verses 2 and 3, and I'm going to be reading it from the New Living Translation. Verse 2. The man brought me outside the wall, through the north gateway, and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then led me across the water, and the water was up to my ankles. This scripture is famous, is it not? I doubt there's anybody that who's been, at least in many full gospel circles, that hasn't heard a message in this, from this particular scripture. And they're usually fiery messages. I think it's so important that we understand where Ezekiel was. He wasn't anywhere near the temple. And the angel, or whatever he saw in that vision, took him around the outside of the wall of the temple. So he wasn't there, hadn't been there for many, many years, probably 25, 30 years since he'd seen the temple. And he sees this vision, and the angel takes him around the outside, and he sees the water flowing. And it is my great concern that as we've listened to this particular portion of Scripture so many times, and people getting all fired up, that we really miss what Holy Spirit is saying through Ezekiel in this message. Because it's such a strong message about our walk with God, and a deep walk with God, and the anointing of Holy Spirit in our lives. Today, we begin a call to go deeper in the Lord. I don't know if you listened to last week, but Christian spoke on the call of God on everyone's life, the Great Commission, and he spoke about discipleship. And this is a deeper call into that. And I spoke the call to worship. I don't remember if you knew, listened, but or remember, but I spoke that up to this time, my ministry mostly here at church has been about born again, about our actual coming to God and being anointed and being born again. Today, we begin a deeper call. I heard a young man once tell me, He was of the Baptist faith. And this, when he told me this, that he was of the Baptist faith, it gave me a whole bunch of preconceived ideas about what he was speaking about. I was raised in the Baptist church, so I just have a lot of preconceived. And I wasn't, as I think about this, I wasn't thinking or judging whether that's a good faith or not. That's not the point at all. I was thinking about what Christian had said about discipleship. I was thinking, what is a disciple? Matthew 28:19, I believe, is what he quoted. He said, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, whether right or wrong, we're all disciples. We're all disciples of someone or something. A disciple is a pupil of some teacher. It implies an acceptance in mind and life of the views and practices of the teacher. In the New Testament times, it means those who accepting of the teachings of another, such as the teachings of the Pharisees and the Herodians. Listen to this scripture. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 and 16. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. Of course, they're trying to trip up Jesus. Verse 16. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." You see, the Herodians were Herod's disciples. Herod, at the time, he was in political power, Jewish political power. He was a Jew. And the Pharisees only had the religious authority, if you will. And so their teacher or disciple was Moses. And so if you go to the 29th chapter and 28th verse of John, this is the Pharisees talking to the man who received his sight. And they were questioning him. And then they reviled him. John, the 9th chapter, verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple," that'd be Jesus's, "but we are Moses's disciples." So I ask the simple question, is there a Baptist faith or a Baptist disciple? Is there a Methodist faith, a Methodist disciple? Or maybe a Presbyterian faith and a Presbyterian disciple? Or maybe even an Assemblies of God faith and Assemblies of God disciple? You know what I say the answer is? Yes and no. You see, the yes answer, if you take the Baptist alone, they believe in being born again. They believe that Jesus is Lord. They believe that he has risen from the dead, as most true Christians faith do. But there is a no answer to this, and the answer no to all these questions is in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6 out of the New Living Translation. And it says this, Paul speaking to the Ephesians. Verse 1, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Not a particular faith. Verse 2, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of love," your love. Verse 3, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit." And that says it all. Not a faith. United in the Spirit. Think about that one for a while. "Binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all." You see, he says, start with live worthy. You see, it's a choice. Live worthy. It's a choice. You are called by God. You were called by God. You were called by God into his kingdom. It is God who's called you. And always be humble and gentle. Recognize that it is God alone on the throne, not us. There's only one God. One body of Christ. There's no separate bodies. One Holy Spirit. Boy, aren't you glad about that? Think about if there was a dozen of them and you had to get them all. But there's only one Holy Spirit, one Spirit, and he unites all of us. We're not united in the faith, we're united in the Spirit, one Spirit. one Jesus Christ, regardless what you're hearing today. I heard, little rabbit trail, I heard this week they found the body of Jesus in Egypt in a sarcophagus. And I thought, people, did you know his DNA? Is that how you knew it was him? Oh my gosh. Anyway, enough of that. One faith. He's alive and he is risen from the dead. There's one baptism in him and there's one God and Father of us all. So the answer is no. There's only one faith. How do all these faiths believe differently? We don't have the time, nor do we have the need to know, because we're called to unity in the Spirit. For he who's not against us is for us, right? That's what Jesus said, Mark 9, the 40th verse. So, a deeper walk of faith. I believe this is exactly what Jesus was pointing at when he said, make disciples. I believe he's calling us all to a deeper relationship and discipleship. I believe Christian said we need to study the Bible and not what somebody says. So as we sit in here and listen to words, get into the Word, study it out, be a Berean, right? I believe God is calling his church today to a deeper walk with him, a much deeper walk. You know, I've probably spoken about this subject, this particular subject, a couple times, that God's changing his desire for the church. I call it what he's been doing for past many years, a Billy Graham paradigm, in that you have one really special speaker and everybody wants to come and sit under his discipleship and learn from him. And I believe he's calling us to a deeper walk and more of a, as Associate Pastor Frank spoke this morning about small groups. Get into small groups. That's where God's moving today, I believe. Oh, I don't think he's changed. I know he still has his apostles, his prophets, his evangelists, his pastors and his teachers. That's not changed in his church. But I do believe the paradigm that we've had in America, if you will, of one special, well-known speaker, and everybody tries to flock to him. I believe that's changing. I really do. You know, many of us grew up like I did. You know, I grew up in the church. And when I was growing up, we went to church every Sunday. We went to Sunday school every Sunday. And we would go in there and we would get taught, you know, in Sunday school, and we'd hear a message. But when we got out of church on Sunday, I was always looking forward to that as a young man, a little young boy. We were free to go live life. That was where life was. Once you got free from that, you know, we'd go to school and hear the three R's, right? Reading, and I don't ever understand how they got the R's out of it, but reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's an RWA, I think. But anyway. But public school that I went to wasn't Christian-based. It wasn't anti-Christian at the time, but it wasn't Christian-based. And so you would sit under that teaching. So my discipleship training was basically maybe a Bible story and Sunday school, and then I'd endure and listen to a little of the message during church. The vision that Ezekiel had was telling of a deep, deep walk with the Lord. The angelic being measured out 1,750 feet. That's about a third of a mile. And a lot of times we'll consider life in miles. Come walk a mile with me. We'll consider that. So we're about a third of the way through life here. And he measures it, takes him across, and the water's only ankle deep. I do believe this is a pointing out that we don't start, even when we accept Christ as Savior, at ankle deep. We have to focus in on Jesus for a while and walk with him to even get ankle deep in the water. Who's grown in their walk with the Lord? Yeah, we call it that, don't we, growing. As we walk with Him, we grow with Him. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and verse 24, Paul says it a different way. He speaks to our life as a Christian as if we're running a race. 24th verse. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Have you ever tried to run in ankle-deep water? Easy to trip and fall, isn't it? It really is. How high do you lift your feet when you run sometimes? Not very tall. So it's easy to stumble and fall. You know what? You can drown in ankle-deep water. I believe it's much harder to run the race, to walk with the Lord in ankle-deep water. How much attention does it take when you're in ankle-deep water to walk? Really not much, does it? You can pick your feet up and walk and go, requiring very little attention to the things of God when we're in the ankle-deep water. What He's called us to, where He's moving, doesn't require a lot of attention. You know, if you run in ankle-deep water, it gets all over you. Ever done that? It just gets all over you. But it's just this way, guys. It runs off, it dries up, and it's gone. Doesn't get in, it just dries up. It's not deep enough to swim in, is it? Who knows, it's a whole lot more fun to swim in water than it is to just walk in ankle deep. Just not nearly as an enjoyable experience. And I will say this about ankle deep water. You're usually really close to the shore when you're in ankle deep water. So it's really easy to step over and get on the shore, to walk away from the things of God, to choose to leave, because it's only ankle deep and you're right there. You can walk away. And there's something very pleasant about just being in ankle deep in water. Are you with me here? You see, there's very little commitment. Just stay where I'm at, you know. There's so little asked of me here because I'm only ankle deep. And I can get to go do whatever it is I want to do. Are we only ankle deep? This was the word I heard. Until someone has learned what swimming in deep water is, ankle deep is good enough. Until someone has learned what swimming in deep water is, ankle deep is good enough. Psalms 42:7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. Deep calls us to deep, not ankle deep. What was the Bruce Lee quote? If you want to learn to swim, jump into the water. Proverbs 22:6, and we've quoted this one quite a few times. We're probably going to hit it a few more. But it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way, when he is young, way he should go, and when he's old, he's not going to depart. He knows where he should go. You know, there's something about the way God made you and I. He made us a particular way. And it's just that our young years are so important. They set our course for life. Then when we're growing up, how we learn, what we learn, what we see, what we encounter, the rest of our life, we're dealing with it. Whether good or bad. That's just how He made us. It's an amazing thing. I would ask you this. When you were young, were you ever taught about the deeper things of God, about a deeper walk with Jesus, a walking very close? Strange subject to me when I was young. Strange subject. You see, we got so close where I grew up, worried about just getting saved, getting someone saved, that that's all we worried about. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's really good. But a deeper discipleship, it's just not often spoken of. But I will say this. Yet even though we don't get it taught to us, Holy Spirit, who knows you get Holy Spirit when you get saved? You do. He's deep, and he's calling us deeper. We know that we know that we know he's calling each one of us to a deeper discipleship, to a deeper walk with him. You see, it's beyond just believing. Did you hear that? Beyond just believing. Jesus spoke of a deep relationship through a parable that is pointing to a very deep relationship. It's a very familiar scripture, and we often gloss over it when we read it, mainly because of where it's at. It's in John the 6th chapter, and it's the Sermon on the Mount, and you've read through a whole bunch of stuff that Jesus has said in that chapter, and it's right at the end. And so I think many people, when they read this portion of scripture, they think, well, I understand what he's saying. Good, I finished reading this chapter, I'm done with it, I can go on. Or when you read this portion of scripture, we think, well, it's just common sense. And I would ask you, did Jesus ever use common sense in his preaching? This is the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a spiritual teaching on the deeper things of God. Luke, the 6th chapter. We're going to read verses 46 through 49. And again, I'm going to go back to the New Living Translation because it's so easy to read and understand. Verse 46. And he says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord? Have you ever heard anyone say something like, well, I guess this is what the Lord wants me to do? Or somebody who may just throw in the name Lord when they're speaking, just, you know, for good measure. Well, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Verse 47, I show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Three steps. Come to him, listens to his teaching, and then follows. Verse 48, is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. What floodwaters is he speaking of, guys? Yes, life. The floodwaters of life. Who's had a few of them break up against you? Yeah, everybody's hand ought to be straight up in the air. Few floodwaters of life breaks against us. Sure does. I would say this. The floodwaters of life can absolutely wash away everything you've worked for in your life. Absolutely can. And he says, if you dig deep and lay it on the foundation, he says you will stand firm. What is standing firm? You ever thought about what he's saying? You have this picture of a house that has water running against it, standing on a foundation. It's a parable. What's he talking about? He's talking about when the floodwaters of life comes against you, you're standing firm. And when it happens, you don't say, oh, woe is me. You stand firm. When something happens at work, and it just wants to wash your feet right out from under you, you say, I know in whom I'm believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has promised to me. Good word, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Standing firm is when the floodwaters of life comes against you. You don't use your mouth to tear down that ever thing that God's built up in your life. It's easy to do. You know, I'm not saying floodwaters won't come. Jesus isn't either. He said they're coming. The floodwaters are coming. They'll wash away everything in your life that you hold dear, that's worth anything to you. The enemy will see to it. He'll take your feet right out from under you. But he's saying three things. Three step. Come to him. Listen to his teaching. And then follow what he says. Who knows the ground in Missouri moves? Oh, I better read the last verse. Verse 49. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse in a heap of ruins. Guys, this is a warning to churchgoers. This isn't a warning to the lost. This is a warning to us, those who listen to his word. Those who come and listen to his word. This is us. He's warning us. Who knows the ground in Missouri moves? It moves a lot. If you don't believe it, come to my house. I'll take you out back. When they built my house, they poured a pad, I don't know, 12 by 14 or so, downstairs. And when they built that house, they went in there with some kind of machine and they shoved all the dirt from the basement out the back. And then they built the house. And then when they poured the pad, they just poured that pad right on top of that dirt. Come look at that pad. It's headed off over the hill. They didn't put any kind of pier or anything under it. There's a gap. It broke off from the edge of the house. And it's heading off over the cliff. It wasn't put in with any kind of foundation. I look at that and I think, oh, Jesus.
My mission to go see that.
Yeah. The gap between the house concrete and the pad concrete's about that wide in places, where it's just, nothing's been done to it. It's just sitting there. The ground in Missouri moves. The ground in Missouri. So does life. What helped you today may not help you tomorrow. It may not. But I'll tell you something that never changes. The Word of God. What he promised us never changes. It never moves. You can stand firm on it. And he's going to bring it to pass. Oh, you may have to use your spiritual eyes. Say, I can't see it, but I know what my God has promised me. Amen? Just powerful stuff that he promised us. Words that he gave us to live by. Promises that if we go deeper with him, the things he'll do for us, he'll keep us. Jesus said to know and follow his teachings is the footing and foundation for our relationship with him. Jesus said to know and follow him and his teachings is the footing and the foundation of our relationship and walk with him. And there's many collapses in our future if we don't. You see, it will seem that he has failed us, when in reality, we've failed to follow him and his teachings. This is the deep thing of God. Deeper benefits. Anybody know there's deeper benefits from walking with a deep walk with God? There are. There's a couple scriptures I'd like to go over here. And I think we have time yet today. So let's just look at a couple of them. These are just natural outcomes from walking deeper with the Lord. Jesus said this, John the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Do we even know what his commandments are? So he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think most of us know what most of them are. And keeping them, it's a lifelong pursuit, isn't it? That's not something you just get. It's part of this growing deeper with Him, learning His commandments and keeping Him. But it's a natural outcome when we do, you see. We will abide under the shadow of His wings. He said, He, Holy Spirit, will abide. How many know there's a difference between having Holy Spirit in us like we get at salvation and abiding with Him? Yeah. How about this? Let's go to 1 Kings. Get an Old Testament scripture in here. We'll look in the 10th chapter. We'll look in verses 8, 9, and then in 24. And this is the Queen of Sheba. And she's come to Solomon and seen all that he's done. And she recognized, and her says her spirit was just overwhelmed in her because she saw what his kingdom was like and what God had done through him. But there's some real deeper truths about walking with God here that just escape us when we read it. 1 Kings 10, 8, 9. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Happy are your men. Happy are these who serve you, gaining wisdom and understanding. Everybody wants happy people around you, right? Nobody wants anybody that's grumpy all the time. We got home from work day yesterday, and I have to work on that. I was a little tired. I can get a little grumpy. I know, hard to believe, right? But you see, this is part of standing firm and knowing God's going to take care of us. Happy are those around you. Happy are those who serve with you. Solomon, the wisest of all, deeper in the Lord than many. Verse 24. Listen to what it said. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Who wants that kind of wisdom? That all the earth would just want to travel and be in your presence just from the wisdom that God puts in your heart. Walking deeper with God. Guys, it's possible. Enoch walked so deep. It only took him 300 years, and geez, God took him. It's possible. It is possible to walk so deep with the Lord, to swim in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? To swim in the Spirit. And you will do righteousness and justice all the days of your life. Luke 6, 47 and 48. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. Who wants to be able to stand firm? Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to ask you if you've ever tripped and fallen. I'll raise my hand for all of us. It's easy. And it's a whole lot easier to trip and fall in ankle-deep water. It's really easy. And you can get in a service where God's moving, and you can run in that service, and it'll get all over you, and you walk out, what happens? It dries off, runs off. But if you're swimming in the Spirit, is it all allegories, Terry? No, it's reality. God's real. Holy Spirit is real. And He, Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, the one who caused all things to be, is the one who called you. He called you. Don't think yourself, no, you're not an accident. Your life, He called you for a purpose. He called you because He's got a plan for your life. You wouldn't be here today if He didn't. And He wants to execute that plan through you. And if you're wanting to go home to heaven, we'll get the plan done. Amen. Let's pray.